Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Parimala, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIT conference call. We will begin with the presentation of NIT Limited, followed by the Q&A session for NIT Limited at Singtel and India. This will be followed by presentation of NIT Technologies, followed by the Q&A session for NIT Technologies at Singtel and India. For the duration of the presentation, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode. I would like to hand over to Mr. Vijay Thadani of NIT. Thank you, and over to Mr. Thadani.
Thank you. Welcome everybody on this conference call for the first quarter's results for NIT Limited. As you are well aware, effective 1st of April, NIT Limited now focuses only on the learning business, and this is the first quarter results of just the learning business that I'll be discussing. Let me first give you an update on the listing. First of all, the record date for allotment of shares for the new companies was 16th of July, and right now the stock exchanges are processing the request for listing. We believe the listing for NIT Limited should happen by the second week of August. And for NIT Technologies, the listing may be about 3 to 4 weeks thereafter. So that's an update on the listing. Everything else is on schedule as far as the demerger and listing arrangements were concerned. Coming to the last quarter, while it's not very long back that we discussed the annual results up to March, but even then I would say I would like to touch upon the business environment, which hasn't changed significantly. But there is a little more excitement than before. And I think the first thing I would like to talk about is the India scenario, where there is a definite improvement one can see in the consumer sentiment, as well as the fact that more IT and BPO jobs are becoming available. Economic Times in its 4th July edition had headlines that 2 million people will be required by 2008. Which represents a 40% CAGR in the number of people required. On the other hand, a NASSCOM survey reflected that 56% of corporate hiring in IT sector is through options other than the engineering campuses, which itself can point you to the opportunity that Indian IT and BPO industry offers to NIT graduates. And that's one of the impacts that we are seeing in this quarter's results as well. On a global scale, IDC projected after maybe a couple of years lull that there will be positive growth in IT education and training, and they have forecasted a 2.7% CAGR for the next few years and 7.5% CAGR in Asia Pacific, which is driven by demand in India and China. The third, I think, environmental issue which I would like to talk about is the fact that training outsourcing is gaining momentum in the developed world, where corporates and institutions are looking at outsourcing the delivery of education. And in the developing world, I think it's the outsourcing industry which is the single largest employer of the graduates of the kind that NIT produces. So that was on the industry front. We did have a union budget in India, where there are two developments, one which we are still groping with, and that's the fact that there will be service tax applicable on IT education and training. However, its impact is yet to be felt completely because we are seeking a clarification. On the other hand, education cess is a commitment by the government in a certain sense that the investment in education will improve, and we think that will point towards growth in the institutional segment of our business. Given these environments and the background, let's talk about the highlights of last quarter. I think the best part of the last quarter would be improvement in profitability. Our net profit in the learning business has grown 12-fold at 75 million rupees from 6 million rupees same period last year. I would like to point out that this is the net profit from the learning business alone. If we add the associate profit of NIT Technologies equity that's held in NIT and that's added on, then the total profit will come to 109 million rupees, which reflects an earnings per share of rupees 5.6 on a consolidated basis. This is on a system-wide revenue of 1.52 billion rupees, which reflects a growth of 10% year-on-year. There is an improvement in operating profit at 129 million, which is an improvement of 126 basis points year-on-year and 365 basis points sequentially. The revenue growth is contributed by volume. There has been a volume improvement in all three elements of our business, and I will talk about the three segments. The realization, which is predominantly better in international as well as in the India side of the business, and productivity, which is what has reflected in a bottom line increase. I'll get on to the individual segments to give you a better flavor of what this is all about. In international segments, the growth is driven largely by enhanced corporate and institutional orders. We added three new clients in US. Significant amongst them is NASD, the National Association of Security Dealers, the earlier owner of NASDAQ, and a large telecom giant who has chosen NIIT one amongst its three global development partners. The total order intake in international segment was at $8.6 million. In the India individual segment, we had a burst in growth of career registrations, which is the futures segment, which is based on launch of what we call the industry-endorsed GNIIT curriculum. This is a curriculum which was created over the last 9 month period, where intense discussions with the industry about exactly the kind of requirements that they have, which led to multiple tracks being designed in a way in which a student can decide which track to choose based on the career option that they have in mind. And finally, a last semester of the curriculum which is customized to a particular industry's needs, which means that if in a particular geographic location there is a particular industry which requires a particular skill in large quantities, then we would align our last semester to reflect that particular company's need. And that program has worked out extremely well. In fact, we had the first set of graduates which we trained in that in a fast-track mode come out last week, and we had a convocation for them, which was again very well received. In the institutional segment, we had a fresh order intake of, I'm talking in rupees because it's in rupees, the orders are in rupees, which is 129 million rupees, or about 2.8 million dollars. In terms of the segmental profitability, India institutional and the international segment contributed to the bulk of profit. The details are available on the site. In case you have not been to the site, you can pick up these details, or we can talk about it in the question answer section. In terms of geographies, 77% of international came out of Americas, about 18% from Europe, and the balance from Asia Pacific and other geographies. In terms of the total number of education centers, from 3,547 centers reported in last quarter, we are now at 3,786 centers. 3,786 basically reflects the growth in the institutional centers, as well as a small growth in the other education centers that we used to have for retail clients, including a couple of centers which are company operated, which have been opened at some strategic locations, which I think is an indicator of the confidence which the consumer is showing, as well as the confidence which the company has towards its future. The international centers were stable at 280, the same number reported last quarter. At an individual level, in the India individual segment, the futures contributed 67%, CATS 19% and SWIFT 14% of the total business. We also added 132 people during the quarter, which brings the total strength to 1,663. Talking a little bit about the balance sheet, we added 29 million rupees of assets during the quarter, and our cash balance stands at 829 million rupees. The net cash is rupees 598 million and the return on average capital employed at 17.2% annualized. So that, I would say, is the overall briefing on NIIT Limited. I would like to request the operator to open it for question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now have the Q&A session for NIIT Limited. At this moment, I would like to hand over the proceedings to moderator at Singtel to conduct the Q&A for international participants. After this, we'll have a Q&A session for India participants. Thank you, and over to Kanaga.
Thank you, Parimala. We'll now begin the Q&A session for participants connected to the Singtel bridge. Please press star zero or pound zero to ask a question. Please press star zero or pound zero to ask a question. At this moment, there are no further questions from participants at Singtel. I would like to hand over the proceedings back to Parimala.
Thank you, Kanaga. We will now begin the Q&A interactive session for India participants. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their question on a first-in-line basis. To ask questions, please press star 1 now. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star 1 now. First in line, we have Mr. Deepen Shah from Kotak Securities.
Okay, good evening. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, just wanted to ask, this quarter which went by, the April, May, June quarter is one of the better quarters for NIIT. It's a better quarter for the training business as such. So just wanted to understand in terms of the sustainability of the current level of revenues, which are at 97 crores during the quarter. How do you see the revenue spanning out, whether you see the seasonality still there or now it's mostly at rest because of higher levels of international revenues and institutional revenues? And the other thing is, can you just guide us something, and not in terms of actual figures, but how do you see the margins moving forward over this year? Thanks very much.
Thank you, Deepen. So first of all, yes, you are right that because of the product mix that we have now, the seasonality in the business is reduced. However, I must mention that seasonality still remains for a simple reason that 126% of the business, which is India-based, is very highly seasonal. And given the fact that larger focus is building on long-term courses, the enrollments peak during the quarter that went by and the quarter that we are in right now. These two are the high revenue quarters. Of course, because of a few initiatives that we took, we had a particularly good quarter in January, February, March as well. And we hope that similar trend can continue in coming years. So answering your question, there will be seasonality, but that seasonality will get reduced as time goes by, as newer products get offered. So going forward, we do see that there will be sequential growth in the coming quarter, which will be followed by a dip in the following quarter. And then once again, it's a sawtooth curve if you see our profile. But that intensity of seasonality is reducing. Your second question was in relationship to the margin. We believe that the overall margin that we are working, operating margin that we are working towards for the rest of the year, despite the fact that we have a couple of weak quarters still to come, we believe will be of the order that we have achieved this time, which is about 13%. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it answers both the questions which I had, and okay, yeah, that's very much from me. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Parag Gupta from JM Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, hi, good evening, everybody. I just wanted to check up the 365 bps expansion in operating margins. Could you give me any specific reasons for the expansion in operating margins?
Yeah, I think two reasons. One reason is the fact that there has been a volume growth. As you know, that our business has a high operating leverage because of fixed cost structure. So volume growth automatically contributes a part to the operating margin. The second, which is more significant in this case, is better realization. This time in India individual business, our realization has improved substantially because of the product mix as well as the new curriculum and new initiatives that we took on one hand. And in international, obviously we would have benefited a little from the dollar rupee parity. So those two would have contributed to better realization. So better volume, better realization, and I guess an overall productivity increase that we have been working toward in reducing the overhead cost structure would have also contributed.
Okay. And secondly, what's the reason for the drop in the tax or the deferred credit? Any particular reason for that, from 27 million to 3 million rupees?
Okay. I think that's a purely mathematical number which is derived at. We can answer it more specifically to you by pulling out that calculation for you.
Okay, great.
Hello, sir. Are you through with the question?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Ms. Sohini Andani from LKP Shares and Securities.
Sir, can you give us some idea on how the government business part of our overall business is doing, and this quarter any significant developments that you want to highlight on this side?
Okay, I'll ask my colleague Mr. Rajendran to respond to that.
Sure.
Yeah, Rajendran.
So on the government business, which comes under institutional, as far as last quarter is concerned, we were mostly engaged in completing the execution of the order from Assam government, which we started doing the quarter before. So that got completed. Last quarter, other than that, there was nothing significant in terms of either order intake or any other new execution from the government business. However, there are a couple of bids for which we have gone in very strongly. The results of which we will come to know probably by the end of this current quarter or early next quarter. But in the institutional business, last quarter we saw an increase in the number of private schools coming into the system.
Okay. In terms of the private schools, how does your business model exactly work? I mean, are you taking a subject in the school, and how is the revenue stream there?
Yeah, it is, in a sense, it is similar to the government. In the government schools, our business engagement is with the government, so it's like a business to business.
Yeah.
Except that in the government school, each government gives us few hundred schools.
Okay.
In the private school, it can either be with one school or with a school management like a society which are running multiple schools, and we work with them. But in terms of revenue stream, these are typically 3, 4, or 5 year revenue streams or contracts which are signed. So we work with our business partner in terms of executing these contracts under our supervision.
Okay. And this, in terms of geography, which geography do you cover for this private schools? This is on all India basis, or you are covering a particular region?
Yeah. So since NIT has reach on an all India basis, at first we started doing it on an all India basis. But depending, we have the methodology and the capability to cover on all India basis. But you will normally find that it gets kind of concentrated in some parts. So, for example, in Maharashtra, for example, in the Bangalore area, and also Delhi.
Okay. And so here also we, the CAPEX has to be done by us in the private school, the same as in the,
yes.
the spending on the infrastructure?
No, in the private schools, the infrastructure investment comes from the business partner.
Okay, but not from the school itself. So you.
No, no, so we have many partner. Many options. Let me explain to you.
Yeah.
At one end of the spectrum, it's the business partner who invests. He puts up the center inside the school, and with our course material, our training, etc., he conducts that for the next 3 to 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Then other at the other end extreme, the school already has the infrastructure.
Yeah.
But what they need is the training of students, training of teachers in other other subject matter teachers, and also provision of the course material and conducting the tests, etc. So there it becomes purely service.
Okay.
But most of our contracts so far largely are the type one, where there is an investment from the business partner also.
And sir, in terms of the total institution business, what is the breakup between the government business and the non-government business? Like in percentage term, how much will be government and how much will be...
I don't have it often, but I would think it's about 15 plus percent, which is non-government.
Okay. And sir, in terms of the your international business, if you can elaborate on the steps we are taking to enhance our presence, like which all countries we are operating right now, and what is the progress there? I mean, how is the business scenario looking internationally?
Okay. So international first covers two markets, the developed world and the developing world. Our business model is very different in both parts, as I have explained before. The developed world is the larger part of the business, which was also known as the knowledge solutions business, or part of knowledge solutions business, which earlier used to be as a part of the global software business. This business is in US. This is focusing on three opportunities. One, on content development and corporate training for corporates in these countries, where their customers include Walmart, General Electric, and I have mentioned they just added two more customers, which is NAST and the large telecom provider, which we discussed. So that's one part of the business. Second part of their business is their higher ed alliances, which by the way is true for both them as well as the developing world. These higher ed alliances are alliances with universities and higher educational institutions, where we operate in an NIT inside mode. We call that model the NIT inside model, where NIT goes, it's like the Intel inside a computer, for example, the Intel chip inside a computer. So we go and take over a part or whole of the delivery and development and design responsibility in a particular education system.
Right.
So that is the second channel. And the third, which is now getting developed, is outsourcing of the training function by either a technology provider or even by a user organization. Our business mix is predominantly in the developed world, more on content, followed by higher ed and followed by training outsourcing, which is just starting.
Yeah.
In the developing side of the world, the large markets are China, which we have talked in the past about. And China represents about 6% of our global revenue overall. Then followed by Asia Pacific, the rest of Asia Pacific, where Malaysia, Vietnam, Thailand, these would be other markets. and Philippines and a whole lot of countries there, right up to small places like Fiji. On the other hand, Africa, where all parts of Africa we are very, very active on, Middle East, and now some of the new geographies which we have launched, which is CIS and Latin America, where we are just beginning to set up a couple of centers. So that's the overall international market that we address.
Right. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Next in line, we have Mr. Shekhar Singh from DSP Merrill Lynch.
Hi, sir. I just want to understand, like, you made a statement that the margins for the year will be around 13%. So, just wanted to understand whether I heard it correctly, whether it will be maintained at these levels, and secondly, if so, what really has changed as compared to the last year?
Yeah. Yes, first you heard it right. We expect the margins to be around 13%. And I also explained there are three factors which are contributing to the margins. One is the volume growth, and we are seeing volume growth in each part of our business. Last year, our overall margin was about 7% in the last 12 months, which we had shared with you just about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We see the January, the July, August, September quarter, which is normally better than the April, May, June quarter. And then there is a dip in the October, November, December. And once again, there is a revival in the January, February, March. So while we will go through a little bit of up and down, and therefore the margin will vary, but overall we believe that we should be able to achieve the kind of margin that we are talking about. The first contributor to that, as I mentioned, was volume. The second is better realization. And better realization in India is through the product mix and the programs that we are offering. In international, it is also contributed by that, but also right now the foreign exchange, the US dollar rupee parity rate is helpful to us currently. And lastly, it is based on the productivity of resources that we are deploying, which we have been continuously working on, as you know, even during the downturn. I mean, or during the downturn, there was a major focus on reduction in SG&A. So those are issues which will contribute as the volume increases.
Secondly, like, I just want to understand, in case if we were to remove the knowledge solutions portion of the business, then the margins will be more or less like, say, 200 basis point or 300 basis point higher as compared to last year for the education. So basically, like, okay, what portion of the total margin increase is happening just because the knowledge management solution, knowledge management portion of the business has got added to education services?
Yeah, so first of all, when I am giving you the fact that it was 7% last year versus 13% this year, I am doing a like-to-like comparison. If okay. You were on the call last time, we were doing a view 2. View 2 was aligning the business post-demerger for 1 year so that you are able to compare when you go forward in future. So it's a like-to-like comparison between Knowledge Solutions was included last year and Knowledge Solutions included this year. If you've seen the segment analysis, you would see that in the India individual side of the business, we are still running with a negative operating profit.
Yeah.
And that's an area where if improvement takes place, it contributes dramatically to the bottom line. Along with that, the international as well as the institutional, which gives you a steady return. By the way, when we refer to institutional, we are also referring to institutional and corporate training within India.
Okay. Yeah. If I'm right, the international portion of the business has the highest margins.
In absolute terms at this time.
Okay. So is it like, okay, are there say one-time fees which you are getting from some of the guys who are setting up this new centers and all? Is that impacting the margins or is that improving the margins?
There is, I think it is, normally all this is distributed right through the year. And we have not added any international centers, as you can see in the last quarter.
Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot, yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Manoj Singla from JP Morgan.
Hello, good evening, sir. My first question relates to something we discussed earlier regarding the fixed and variable costs and the operating leverage that you have. Can you actually quantify what percentage of your costs in the quarter were fixed and what were variable?
At this point of time, 35% of our revenue is variable cost.
The second thing is just understanding a little bit more on the overall competitive intensity of the education space. We saw two of your competitors getting merged, and we heard of some other foreign players entering the space. So how is the space that we are seeing right now? How is the competition, and how do we look at it going forward?
Okay. I will comment a little bit on it, and I'll also ask Mr. Pawar to comment a little on it. First of all, I think what we have in front of us is also one of our competitors' results, which have been announced last quarter, last week, sorry. And also some of the industry surveys which are out, which actually show that while there has been an overall degrowth in the industry, even this year, our market share and our growth has been slightly on a positive side. So, our competitive position to that extent in the Indian market would have improved. However, doing a comparison only with the private sector players or the players which we compete with directly may not be the most appropriate one, given the fact that we would like to have a larger chunk of the overall pie. And therefore, of late, we are also talking of all the career aspirants and what and how we are positioned there. Where we are now looking at private universities or universities which are not purely government as another area which we should look at in terms of adding to our competitive space. And we are improving our product offering to make sure that we are able to compete with all these elements effectively. But let me also pass you on to Mr. Pawar, who will give you some more perspective.
As you know, the business now has different segments. For example, the government schools, okay, 12 business has one set of competitors. It's very fiercely competitive. It's driven by the tendering process. It needs a set of skill sets which have to do with value engineering and so on. It's a different group of competitors compared to knowledge solutions, which is in the U.S. marketplace. So one is that I'd like to say there's a different set of dynamics in each of these segments. If you're specific reference was to the individual learning business, which is a conventional NIT center type of learning. Then as Vijay mentioned, I think in some ways the slowdown forced us and got us to look at being competitive, more competitive than we were, and that translated into market share improvement because of whatever investments we made in product development and so on. So in our view, actually, we are in a position where the market has been fragile, competition is pretty much distracted, and as we come out with a stronger position, we are trying to become even more competitive. But it's fair to say that as the hiring comes back and the attractiveness of the business improves, we have to anticipate that there will be more investment by competition. And I guess we are factoring all that into our thinking as we go forward. But right now we are positioned strongly and we're trying to take steps to create some more entry barriers going forward.
Sure, thank you. My next question is actually on the registration side, and we had, 70,000 registrations this quarter. Now, if I look at this number year on year, there's a significant decline of around 22%. I think the number was close to 90% last year, same quarter. So can you explain that?
Yeah, Mr. Rajendran will explain that.
If you notice, this is something which we dealt with last quarter also. Actually, we have a change in the profile of registrations. Within this, our thrust over the last two, three quarters has been to improve the career registrations because as you know, the IT jobs are back, and there is a lot of there is a projection of jobs till 2008, and also a gap in between demand and supply. So we have taken a conscious decision to move the career courses forward. Number one, number two is the CATS, which is the high end part of the CATS training programs forward. So what has happened is in the futures is the one semester, two semester, up to our 3-year GNID program. in that we have actually recorded a 7% increase in registration compared to last year same quarter. CATS has been stable. It has grown marginally. It has not grown. It is just minus 2 or 3%. Where we have really reduced our registrations is in the SWIFT segment, which is the, you know, the literacy segment, where we are talking about right from the 10-hour program to the 4 to 5 weeks program. This is really the segment where, as you know, using kiosks and with more people getting educated in the schools, adult literacy programs, etc., etc., there are a lot of other mechanisms which are happening for computer literacy at that level. So the net-net of this is on a total number, it has reduced. But in terms of realization and the longer-term courses, it has increased. So in a sense, we have started rebuilding our order book in this business, which we had dramatically lost in the at the downturn time, where people had started registering only for the short-term programs and also for one single semester. So that's the overall perspective on registrations. And why 70,000, though it is 70,000, we have had a growth in terms of realization.
Sure, thank you. My just one last question from me. One is, you gave a number for the order book. How long does this order book last, the number that you gave?
Well, I think I also said about 46% of that is realizable in the next 12 months. But overall, the average, the overall order book will be over, I think, the next 4-year period.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Srivatsa from UTI Mutual Fund.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Can you just highlight what kind of progress you have made in your BPO training business? I mean, if both on qualitative aspects as well as quantitative aspects, as what I mean, what I mean, like what it has contributed to the revenue this quarter?
Okay, the BPO industry, the BPO segment of courses that we offer, there are two elements to that. One element I will ask Mr. Rajendran to respond to, and one element I will respond to. So let me start by responding to the part that I thought I would talk about, which is the fact that in the new industry endorsed curriculum, we now have a 2.5-year stream available on the BPO management track, which is not only to train the agents when they are greenhorns in a new company, but also to look at a career for them, because attrition is the single largest problem in the BPO industry, to build a career for them so that they can continue with the same industry, same company, which requires a partnership with the company. So we launched a track there. That's one of the new initiatives that we have taken. The second, a part of our BPO training, a large part of our BPO training, has been directly with the corporates who either sponsor people to come and attend courses with us, or we do an in-house training for them. The part which is now gaining momentum is the retail segment, where people typically come for an automated method by which we could improve their English accent and communication skills on one hand, and secondly, if they are going to a very strong tech support oriented BPO, then they may even do a semester or two of our normal GNIIT curriculum. So that's from the student side. But from the employer side, the interesting issue is employers are recruiting from all parts of NIIT curricula, irrespective of the fact whether they have been trained by the BPO part or the GNIIT or the CATS or the SWIFT part. And I took a dipstick of the placements that we have done. About 70% of the placements that we are doing are in the IT, for IT careers, and about 30% are to BPO careers. So that should give you a flavor. But in terms of specific registrations and of the kind that we are working on, maybe Rajendran, would you just give an idea of?
I think you answered the question for me, because the registrations here are a combination of retail and corporate. So we are not bunching that together at this time.
Okay, sir, in case of corporates, we have tie-ups with some leading BPO companies, or, I mean, how does it work?
Yes. We have tie-ups with all the leading BPO companies, every leading BPO company that you can name.
And they outsource their entire training requirements to NIT, or is it on a case-to-case basis?
It is sometimes on a particular skill basis, for a particular background basis. So they have multiple approaches and multiple strategies for recruitment.
Okay. Sir, I just had a couple of housekeeping questions. If you could just give me the capex for this quarter, and as well as how much is the debtor days? I mean, have you seen an improvement in the debtor days?
29 million rupees was the capex in this quarter.
Yeah.
And the debtors are at 1301 million rupees.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, sir. Next, we have a follow-up question from Mr. Deepen Shah of Kotak Securities.
Yeah, in fact, a couple of questions. First, just wanted to clarify this one thing. You said about 44% of the order book position is executable in the current year, right?
46%, not in current year, over the next 12 months.
Okay, over the next 12 months, okay. And the other thing is that this growth of 20% in the revenues which we have seen to about 97 crores during the quarter, can it be split up into like how much of the growth came from the institutional side, how much from international, and how much from the domestic individual side?
I don't have, because we have not been able to recast the numbers at segment level. But if you see an overall mix change, then at this time, India individual would have contributed to the most of the growth, followed by international, followed by institutional.
The individual is the most one. Okay. And okay, the last thing is just wanted to understand this difference. Like maybe I'm not really up to date, but the system-wide revenues were about 152 crores during the quarter, and the net revenues are 96 crores. So if I understand it correctly, is this 152 crores the overall revenues which we got from training, and 96 crores is our part which we have booked in our accounts? Am I right in understanding that?
You are very right, except we do that only for the retail side of the business.
Okay. So
you're absolutely right. The reason is, I'll explain you where the system-wide revenue concept came from. Once upon a time, if we had all the centers were owned by us, then we would have had 1520 million rupees. But because the ownership of the center changes, and because of the way you do the accounting, it is possible that in your books, by the accounting policy, you only get 968. So in terms of your market position and what the customer pays to NIIT is concerned, that's 1520.
Okay. And the breakup of revenue which we have within the international, India, individual, etc., would it be based on this 96 crores or 152 crores?
It's based on 152.
Okay.
Because that's, I think, the true market position.
That's the true market position. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Next, we have a question from Mr. Chetan Shah of Quantum Securities.
Yes, sir. Last quarter, the tax rate has been quite low. For a whole year, what is the expectation on effective tax rate?
Can I respond to that question in a few minutes? What will be the effective tax rate going forward?
Yeah.
I can handle some other question meanwhile,
okay.
But I won't have that number.
And second was on the current liabilities front. What will be the sundry creditors or the advances from the students?
On the liabilities front, maybe I can answer that question straight away for you. Advances from customers are about 397 million rupees.
Okay.
And what was your second question, sorry?
I mean, the sundry creditors also earlier. And
sundry creditors were about 1127.
1127.
Yeah.
Okay.
On March end, sundry creditors were 1361.
Yeah. And yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks.
Okay, I have to respond to you on the effective tax rate.
Yeah. And another thing, basically, if may ask, earlier historically it has been a seasonal business, education front, with June and September quarter being abnormally good. So that pattern will continue in the future also?
Yeah, except that that abnormally good portion affects 26% of the business.
Sorry, I didn't get it.
What I said was, the portion that used to be very seasonal was the India individual business.
Okay.
The institutional business is fairly steady.
Okay.
Correct? The individual business is the one which has swings, and in that, the July, August, September is a very strong quarter.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay. And the comparative, this you have given a breakup differently, that is India individual, India institutional and international, that is the revenue as well as the operating expenses. For the latest quarter. Is it possible for the a year ago quarter?
No, we have for the whole year.
Okay.
No, we have the revenue breakup for the whole year. We don't have the profit breakup for the whole year.
Okay.
But going forward, you would be seeing that.
Yeah.
Okay, just responding to your tax rate, and maybe we will handle one more question after that.
Yeah.
The tax rate is likely to be very marginal because we have carry forward losses.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Operator, that would be, we'll take one more question.
Okay, sir. Actually, right now, nobody is there in the question queue.
Oh, excellent. Then what a great timing.
Okay, fine.
In which case, we can close this call and start the NIIT Technologies call.
Okay, sir.
So, if I may just like to thank everybody who's been on this call. As usual, your questions educate us more about the business directions as well as the work that we need to do in future. In this particular call, we have answered all questions, so I don't think there is any carry forward that we have to look at. But we do look forward to receiving any questions or comments that you have on the results. The results are available on www.niit.com, and you can contact us either through email or through phone, and both my colleagues Nidhi Agarwal and Sanjay Mal are available to handle your questions or pass them on to us as the case may be. So with that, thank you very much.